On this episode of Still Loading, Dr. Wily's at it again. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to this new episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode of the 40 for 40 series, we're going to be playing one of my favorites, or we did play, excuse me, one of my favorites, and that is Mega Man 3 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And to join me this week, it is one of the original members, and non-members, but now also original guests, Justin. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good to be back, sir.
So I brought you back for this week because you were the one who introduced me to Mega Man and Mega Man 3 and all of its glory. So, to start this all off, what is your history with Mega Man and, well, specifically Mega Man 3?
Oh, yes. So Mega Man 3 is actually the first Mega Man game I've ever owned. I've owned it probably before I can even remember.
Number three, pop your Mega Man cherry.
It sure did.
Get in there, right?
It popped it hard.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right.
This came in, I've spent hours upon hours just playing it day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter how far I played it. Like, I would start it fresh every single time. And it's one of those games where, like, I might not pick it up for a year, but I've played it so much that as soon as I pick it up, I know exactly what I'm doing straight off the bat.
Well, it shows. When we were playing, man, like, your button mashing skills were on show. Your prowess was on show. Because freaking, like, a lot of the enemies and, like, mini-bosses that were giving me a lot of struggle, you would just breeze right through. And I believe, in speaking of mini-bosses, this is the first game where they introduced Proto-Man, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, what is the whole, what is the, I don't say mythos, but I guess, like, you know, canon. What's the Mega Man canon involving Proto-Man? This, and I honest to God don't know this. Do you know it?
I actually really don't know a ton about it, except for that I was Mega Man's brother.
Well, that's not obvious, because it doesn't say it in the game.
True, it does not say it in the game. I don't even think the box art mentions Proto-Man.
You know what? I'm gonna look through the manual while you're talking, so keep going.
But really, I've actually learned most of my lore through the
The X series?
Not the X series, but the actual cartoon show that used to air.
That was a good show,
it
too.
It really was, actually. Proto-Man's a very interesting character. He's one of those characters that doesn't really, he's not on the good side or the bad side. He's kind of an independent party. You'll generally see him on Wily's side, but that's because he's kind of indifferent to what Mega Man's doing. But you even notice that
he's Switzerland.
Yeah, like, you were playing Gemini Man's level, and you're like, oh, I gotta fight Proto-Man again? But no, he just opens up the game
for you. I hated that, too, because it's hard enough when you're on a flat surface, and then the screen that I was on came up with it, and there was a bump in the center of it. I'm like, I can't even, like, glide past him easily. Mm-hmm. But didn't have to fight him. Mm-hmm. Just an easy little thinger there. Okay, so let's talk about specifically, neither of us are, like, you're more well-versed than I am, but the lore isn't something we're 100%, the canon of Mega Man, the storyline, isn't something we're 100% well-versed in, other than the fact that, obviously, Dr. Wily is constantly making more robot masters, and Mega Man has to stop them.
Yep, and, like, the whole premise, I guess, like, the underlying theme is, like, free will and robots and stuff like that, some, like, real Rush stuff, if anyone knows the band Rush.
Really?
Yeah.
I know the band Rush, but I don't ever really paid attention to their lyrics at all. Is that, like, what a lot of their lyrics are about?
Oh, kind of. They have, like, a song called Free Will, which is all about, like,
I will
choosing your own, like, destiny and stuff like that.
That's a good
that.
Song. I like that one. I'm not going to try to sing it, though.
But yeah, so it's, you know, you're dealing with robots or like AI in general. So the kind of like the underlying theme is that like Dr. Wily promises all these robots like freedom or like choices not to like obey their human owners and what they do, because each robot kind of has like their own specific task. That you'll see, like, and the show actually kind of depicted it really well. Like, Gutsman was always, like, moving things. He was, like, almost a construction worker type robot. Cutman cut things.
It's like, he goes around to all the hospitals to cut umbilical cords, open, or goes around to other hospitals to open buildings, you know, cut the ribbons.
Yep.
So, I thought this was interesting, because, you know, one of the things we like to do on Still Loading is talk about, well, I'll do this now, and then we'll talk about the box art like we usually do. But I wanted to read this. They have safety precautions on this, and I get it. You know, every game pack. This one I thought interesting. So ready? Well, I'm going to read all six of these safety precautions. Don't subject your game pack to extreme temperatures, either hot or cold. Always store it at room temperature.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Don't touch the terminal connectors on your game pack. Keep it clean and dust-free by always storing it in its protective case.
All right.
Yeah. Fair enough, yeah. Try not to disassemble your... Do not try to disassemble your game pack. I misread that. I thought it would have been funnier to try not to disassemble your game pack. Like, that would be like something...
Oh, God, I just assembled it.
But no, it says do not try to do that. Number four, don't let your game pack come in contact with thinners, solvents, benzene, alcohol, or any other strong cleaning agents that can damage it, even though you use it to clean the connectors.
Yeah, I guess they're like cautioning you from like the more extreme stuff.
I guess so. Now, this is where it starts getting a little interesting, and this one even isn't too weird. For the best gameplay, sit three to six feet away from your television. Okay, I get it. You know, you don't want kids up front. This is the one I thought that was weird. This is why I went down this little rabbit hole. Pause for 10 to 20 minutes after 2 hours of continuous play. Doing this extends the performance of your game pack. What?
Huh.
That doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't just turning off extend the performance of your game pack? Like giving it a rest, you know, not let it cool off a little bit. Not pause it for 10 to 20 minutes after 2 hours of continuous play.
What?
what happened that required them?
Yeah, to put that
safety precaution in. Like, did a pack explode on them?
Yeah, right.
I don't understand what's going on.
Because you know that had to come from some legal thing.
It had to. Well, and okay, so at my job, right, there's warning signs on the toilets saying like, oh, we use clean water here, but you know, don't drink the water. And everyone assumed that it was, oh, it's because, you know, like some idiot tried to drink the toilet water or something. Apparently that wasn't the case. It's because like we have a green building or whatever, so because of the special like the way the water is treated, because we have a small water treatment like machine thing like in the basement or something, apparently. And you, because of the way it's treated, if someone would drink the toilet water, get sick, they could then apparently sue the company because of the water could be traced back to them or something. I don't know if that's true or not. That's more of a hearsay. So there are some things that I believe are 100% precautionary and not based on any precedent, but just on the fact, like, this could happen, so let's be on the safe side.
Yeah.
I want to know what the fuck precaution this was. Where, like, where this came... Was it literally, like, a technical limitation where they were, when playtesting it, they realized that shit would happen after 2 hours of continuous play?
Just overhaul lag? I don't know.
I don't understand it. So, that I thought that was really strange. When I was looking through the manual to try to find a hide or hair of Protoman, which I couldn't find, by the way, I found that, and I thought it was really funny. So, let's look at the box art now. I would argue this is one of the first Mega Man box arts that actually looks like Mega Man.
It is, actually.
So, for those who don't know, if you want to have a good time and look at bad artwork, like amazingly bad artwork, go back and look at Mega Man 1's and Mega Man 2's box art, though arguably Mega Man 1's is much worse.
Oh, yes.
By, like, his shoulder is disproportionate from the rest of his body. Mm-hmm. It's super strange. But what I love about Mega Man 2 is that they don't even give him a blaster. It's literally like a dude with a pistol. Yeah. And he's like shooting. And what's even stranger, though, is they even tried to do the artwork for the Robot Masters.
Yep.
And it was... it's just weird how they got the Robot Masters pretty good, mm-hmm. but missed the mark so far with Mega Man.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, the first game's excusable because generally what would happen is the U.S. company responsible for importing the game would just, you know, they would get a vague description of the game and they'd have some artist here do the box art based on that description. Mm-hmm. But now you've already got a Mega Man game in the books, you're doing a second one, you kind of know what Mega Man looks yeah. like at this point.
Well, and I'd even argue that, like, the artwork for this one isn't the greatest. Like, it's not bad, but Mega Man has a bizarre combination of, like, a really chubby face, but with, like, ripped abs.
Yeah,
like, it's, like, such a weird juxtaposition.
Yep, and his blaster's a little weird. Better than the other.
Looks like a Lego blaster.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's got him shooting at... What Robot Master is that? Is it Spark?
Sparkman? Yeah.
It makes sense because he's got a little, like, spark coming out of the side. Yeah. And then behind him would be...
Top Man?
Yeah, Top Man. And then Wily's Castle, which is actually a really cool rendering of it in the background. It's almost like Castle Grayskull from, you know, He-Man or some shit. I have the power! I was trying to think of some weird joke to, like... Do I have something? And then nothing came. And now I'm explaining a joke on a podcast. So, you know, how funny is that?
Funny thing is, Rush looks better than Mega Man.
Oh my god, you're right. I didn't even see Rush standing behind him. And it's cool. It almost looks like he's on a Death Star type of thing. Like, he's standing on a, like, this weird, like, metal platform with, like, these holes in it.
Yeah.
But, so let's get into the gameplay now.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like the most about the gameplay is it's classic Mega Man gameplay, but they added some tweaks to it. Mega Man 3 was the first game in the series that offered the dash move, like the slide dash type of thing. It was not the first game that offered a charge-up shot.
No, that was Mega Man 4.
No, Mega Man 2.
With Heat Man's
gun.
Yeah.
But it's not the first one to make the blaster a charge-up shot. Yeah, you're right. Mega Man 4 would be that. So it added a cool mechanic though, just with the sliding thing. You never really had that before. I mean, I killed myself a couple times by accident because I would forget that we were trying to figure out how to get to that one platform, and I'm like, all right, well, what about this? And I just slid right off the edge. I'm like, well, there that goes. I really enjoyed the gameplay as usual. I mean, Mega Man has some of the tightest controls across the board. What is cool though, because the gameplay isn't just the controls, I always feel like I linger on them, but what are some of the new types of enemies in this? The one that comes to my mind is the pole vaulting guy killed me. Like, he launched over me, I'm like, oh, I got this, and I ran into his bouncing stick, and the stick killed me.
Because
that's how my life is. But what other enemies were interesting to you?
I love the enemies and Snake Man's level, including that pole vault guy.
Fuck that pole vault guy. He can fuck himself with his own pole vault.
Right up the end.
Right up the end.
But the giant snakes are really cool in that. Like, it gives you, like, that... It just feels like that's definitely Snake Man's level.
Well, and I like the fact that, like, since the snake's body in that is constantly moving, really hard to get, like, an idea of what you really need to do, because you're focusing so much on this, like, wavy snake portion that you're standing on, mm-hmm. while its head is just shooting these giant red balls at you.
Yeah, and the variety of enemies. Like, Top Man has these weird giant cats that throw yarn at you.
I hate those.
Yeah.
A lot.
There's, like, giant penguin mechs. Like, it's just so unique. And, like, even the bosses themselves have some unique characteristics. Like, Gemini Man splits into two, and then has this, like, laser shot. Magnet Man has, like, a Homan-type mechanism.
It was fun watching you fight Gemini Man. I love, like, you kind of just kept the cycle going, because they're chasing you around in circles, and you're just jumping over them, jumping and shooting. It was really cool to watch.
Yeah, it's a very predictable game in some instances, which kind of downplays the replay value maybe a little bit, but it just makes it feel all that smoother. Like, you're never going to be completely surprised by something after you played it a couple times. Mm-hmm. Like, you just start to get into that groove, and it's just a really nice game to play through at that point.
What are you? So the robot masters in this game are Magnet Man, Snake Man, Needle Man, Hard Man. Anyway, I'm not going to
so many jokes.
Top Man, Gemini Man, Spark Man, and Shadow Man. I want one to... Never mind, that was a bad joke. I'm not even going to finish that one. Let's just forget about it.
Does it have to do with Hard Man?
No, it was going to be... I was going to say, there's a Man-Man. And then I didn't like it at all, and then I felt embarrassed for thinking it. And now here we are, me saying it anyway.
Well, the Robot Masters do get kind of questionable.
Yeah, I mean, really, they ran out of names so fast. Like, yeah. I mean, seriously, okay, what the fuck is... Like, why would you name anyone Gemini and Shadow Man? There's still other elements you have not touched. I don't think there was an Earthman at that point, was there? Nope. Was there an Earthman in Mega Man 1?
Nope.
I don't believe there was in Mega Man 2. Nope. And there was already a Fireman. I guess they wanted to stay away from getting sued by Earth, Wind, and Fire, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. But who knows? That was also a bad joke. Thank you, and I will file. Let's keep on going on. With those bosses, which one is your personal favorite? Now, I have not played this as much as you have. Like you said, you grew up with this, and you've beaten it, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Countless times. Out of all of them, that's really tough. To fight is definitely, I would say, Gemini Man, just because of that cool, like, little thing he has going with his clone, and just, like, the cycle that goes through. But outside of that, my two just... kind of like favorite, like, oh, that's a really cool boss is Snake Man and Shadow Man.
Okay.
Shadow Man, really, because like I love ninja type things, so
ninja. Well, you did participate in Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
Not on, oops.
Not on national,
not on TV scale, unfortunately, but
the dream.
Now, will you try to go back at that at some point, do you
absolutely
think? Yeah, are you working to get back in shape for that?
Yeah. Once work toasts out in a little bit, maybe I'll have some more time.
It's the same. I mean, I want to do more with this podcast, but between this and the wedding, it's not enough time. There's not enough hours in the day.
Just don't get married.
What? No, I love her.
But yeah, so, and Snake Man is just a bamf, honestly.
I want to find that t-shirt. One of our favorite musicians, DJ Cotman, has an awesome shirt of, like, the Snake Man level all over it. Have you seen that, Justin?
No.
Oh, it's really cool looking. It's, like, it's an interesting design, but it's, like, it's very 90s at the same time. Like, it's, I don't know how to describe it. If I find a picture of it, I'll post it up on Instagram and Twitter, but it's a really cool looking shirt. All right, so... With that in mind, what would be one, like, what was fighting Dr. Wily like? Because when we played, we didn't get to him, but, like, mm-hmm. What type of boss fight is he? Like, what type of patterns did you have to face? What kind of things did you have to go through? Do you remember any of it?
I do. You know, the final boss in, and it's actually one of the ones where you don't really fight Dr. Wily head on. He's kind of in this, like, giant mech thing.
Okay.
And I remember when I was younger, I had no idea how to beat this thing. And I believe its weakness is the hard knuckle.
Which is Hard Man?
Yep, which is
it's
Hard Man.
It's a big Hard Man that's his weakness? Is that what you're telling me, Justin?
Yeah, hey, you know which way Dr. Wily swings. But once you figure that out, it's actually not that hard. And that's kind of the general theme of the game. It's out of most of the Mega Mans, it's actually kind of easy. They're pretty lenient on the how much like items they dish out throughout the level.
I was gonna say there's a lot of chances for you to refill your energy, your ammo essentially for each of the boss weapons.
Yeah, your weapon energy and just energy in general, and they have like a bunch of E-tanks around. So difficulty wise, it's not one of the hardest, it's not one of the easiest.
I would say at least the platforming is harder. From my experience, the platforming is a lot harder than Mega Man 2. And
yes.
I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably already know about this, but for those who, just in case, and anyone who's never played Mega Man, every time you beat one of the 8 bosses, you get a weapon that basically is like some version of its power, of like what the boss was able to do. And so you can choose any order you want to fight these bosses. Each game, with the exception of the first one had 6 bosses, I believe.
Correct.
But everyone since then had 8 bosses, plus a bunch of bonus stuff at the end. But 8 main bosses, and there's a lot of extra content at the end that you... It's not really extra, I should say, because it's still required to beat it, but it is still more. Because after you beat the 8 Robot Masters, don't you have to go through all the Wily stages, beat those 8 again in this game, and then beat 4 more? Am I right with that one, or is that a different Mega Man?
Yes, the order's slightly off. But yeah, that's essentially it. So, after you beat all 8 bosses, the coolest thing, I think, about Mega Man 3 is that after you beat all 8 original bosses, 4 levels reopen. So, like, Gemini Man's one of them, Shadow Man's one of them, I forget the other 2.
That's what it is, okay.
Yeah, and once you go into one of those levels, there's, like, a mid-boss and an end-boss, and they don't take the shape of the Mega Man 2 bosses. They're, like, these weird generic robots, but you'll see that they absorb the power of one of the old Mega Man 2 bosses.
And then so you have to fight with that pattern.
Exactly, okay. Yep. So it's kind of cool because you get to play all 8 Mega Man 2 bosses again.
And you get to fight them with Mega Man 3 weapons.
Exactly. That's the coolest part.
Okay. So like I said, for those who haven't played it, you play as Mega Man, you know, I guess it's kind of weird saying, you know, almost about 20 minutes into recording this. But
by the way,
in case you haven't played it. But yeah, no, you know, you play as Mega Man, you fight the 8 Robot Masters, and you gain a weapon that you can use, and your weapon has a finite amount of ammo to it, but you can get more by killing other, just regular enemies. The only weapon that is unlimited is your normal Buster Cannon, which wouldn't be you wouldn't be able to charge it up into a big blast until the 4th one.
Yep.
Which I always found funny in the 4th one, because, you know, since the NES could only have so many sound channels, it would have a little, like, a wah-wah-wah-wah sound type of thing, and so the bass would just drop out of it.
Like, wait, where did they go?
So you're listening to the song, and you just hear, like, awesome music. All of a sudden, one of the lines just drops, and all you hear is wah-wah-wah-wah, because it's just taking up the entire sound channel. That is the bass now. What were you going
to
say?
Well, about the power-up, like, shot, it's interesting because when you first play, like, Mega Man 4 or any of the ones where you have the charge-up blast, it's like, oh, this is awesome. You can, like, charge up your shot and stuff. But if you go back to Mega Man 3, you don't miss it at all. Like, it just feels so natural to just mash the shoot button.
Well, I think they balanced the game really well around each of the mechanics. Like, everything they added with each subsequent Mega Man game, they definitely balanced the new things really well into it.
Definitely.
Mega Man 3 with the slide move, mm-hmm. they have a lot of things where, like, they have bosses definitely makes your job a hell of a lot easier with that slide mechanic.
Oh yeah,
Proto Man, the fight that I'm horrible at, but he's literally designed because he moves so fast that you have to, if you try to run under him when he's jumping, you're not going to make it in time. You have to dash, and you can still beat him with some luck by taking hits even when he jumps over you. But obviously, it's a lot better if you just dash under him and he completely misses you. So with the going back to Dr. Wily in the final couple levels, you can go back and refight those Mega Man 2 ones if you want to, or you can just go straight on to Dr. Wily, play through Dr. Wily's levels, rebeat those 8 Mega Man, rebeat the 8 original bosses again, right? And then you fight Dr. Wily?
Yeah, so I don't think you have a choice. I think you have to play all the Mega Man 2 bosses, then you go through the Wily stages, fight all 8 Mega Man 3 bosses again.
It's a fucking gauntlet, man. Yeah, that is That is a lot of...
It really is. It's deceptively long.
That would be DLC now.
Yep, right? Seriously.
Oh my goodness. But alright, so the ending, how satisfying is it? I feel weird kind of interviewing you about your experience with the game, but this is kind of a new idea for me, so we're just kind of going with it.
Yeah, and this is, I guess you could call this a spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
So for a game made in 1980...
Who knows?
Something. 1990. Wow.
Yeah, that's no, nice. Dude, because remember, the NES wasn't released until 85.
Yeah.
Mega Man 1 didn't come out till at least a year or two after that.
Yeah,
my guess is that Mega Man 1 came out in 87, Mega Man 2 came out in 88, or no, 89.
Maybe, yeah.
89. A lot of the classic NES games that we all know and love now came out after the Super Nintendo was released, which is weird.
It really is.
Like, now, of course, all the early ones, you know, Zelda, Metroid, Mario, like, technically, Mario Brothers 3 came out only a couple months before the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like they're leagues apart in terms of what it was like, but really, it was only a couple months. I mean... Because, Super Mario World was a launch title for the Super Nintendo, and the Super Nintendo was released, if I remember correctly, in 90 or 91.
Yeah.
And Super Mario Bros. 3 came out in late 89, because that's the same year The Wizard came out, right, in the summer.
Awesome movie, by the way. But yeah, so the end, Dr. Wily's castle comes crashing down like usual, and it seems like you're going to get trapped. And if I remember this correctly, Proto Man comes in. And I actually forget if he saves you or he saves Dr. Wily. I'm pretty sure he saves you because Dr. Wily escapes before the castle comes crashing.
You know,
we probably
should have looked at a Let's Play of this or something before we recorded. Right. I mean, we played it right beforehand. I didn't beat a single boss and you beat like three of them. So that was pretty cool.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that how it goes, but I just remember, like, well, this guy you've been like fighting the whole game comes to your rescue at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of cool, and it sets up Mega Man 4 a little bit. So if I have the order right, Mega Man 4's intro screen is Proto Man's like little scarf ribbon thing, and Proto Man kind of goes missing at that point. Kind of almost like on a self-awareness journey.
Like a soul-searching journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it kind of, it's a nice little segue. It's, and it's the typical, like, oh, Dr. Wily got away again type of thing.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
But it was definitely like, after that huge gauntlet and having an ending like that, it was definitely satisfying. Like, it was more well thought out than most of the Mega Man endings, okay, where you're like Dr. Wily is like begging for forgiveness, and you're like, okay, whatever, go. Like,
yeah, because he lets him go every time because he's, I don't know, he's dumb.
Yeah.
He's a big dummy. So, all right, what I want to talk about next, since we went pretty deep into the gameplay and everything like that, I wanted to talk about the music.
Yes.
And I know this is your favorite part about the game, and I won't lie. So here is my personal comparison. I think the menu music, the theme music, and everything else for Mega Man 3 is better than Mega Man 2.
Yes.
But I like the stage music in Mega Man 2 more.
That's
like,
a fair
assumption,
yeah.
Like, I like Woodman's stage music from Mega Man 2 a lot.
Mm.
He could be paired very well with Hardman, if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm saying. No, but...
get that hard voice.
Oh, my God. I mean, they got it. You didn't have to. Whatever. You
we're mature adults here.
But no, I liked Woodman. I actually like Bubble Man's music a lot.
Yeah.
What is it? Flashman, I want to say. Who's the dude? It's not the guy with all the laser beams shooting across. That's Quickman.
Mm-hmm.
It is Flashman. Flashman's stage I really like.
Flashing some hardwood.
Oh, my God. That's just... How many... Oh, my God.
How many puns
can you... So, wait. Are you telling me that all of the Mega Man bosses are just innuendos for an erect penis, Justin? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Every single one? What? How does Top Man fit into that? Oh, God. Never mind. I already figured that one out.
Well, it's all depends on preference.
I guess so. And Needle Man. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Snake Man.
Mm-hmm.
Magnet Man? Guess
if you try hard.
What do you mean if you try hard enough?
That doesn't even anything make sense. Can be a sexual innuendo if you try hard enough.
Oh my God. All right, so the music, I love the intro theme a ton. I could, oh, that is, it's such a good, it's called Passing in the Blue Crown, I believe, right? The intro theme, I want to say.
Yeah, I actually don't know the name.
I will look it up. My personal favorite, though, by far is the victory screen after you beat
the
boss.
Weapon screen.
Yeah, the get weapon screen.
Yeah.
That song is so catchy. I could just listen to it all. I'm going to put it in right here. And yeah, it's so it's just so good.
And the surprising thing is, it's not like crazy eccentric or anything. It's just a solid like it's the best victory music you could have. It's like, yeah, I just beat that boss.
It really is. I think what I like so much about it too is just like it drives, like that song specifically, but even like the intro stuff, like all the menu things, all the menu songs, it drives really well. The individual stage songs aren't too bad, but I didn't really get to listen to all of them, so I'm curious to go back. I might go back and listen to some others, but I really much I really enjoy in general just the soundtrack overall. Like it's, I think in my honest opinion, those songs that I like are better than the entirety of the Mega Man 2 soundtrack. Like that's how much I like those songs, even though there's more songs on Mega Man 2 that I like than Mega Man 3. Those songs that I do like on Mega Man 3, I think puts it on either number 1 or 2 for my all-time favorite NES soundtracks. Like, I love the music from this game.
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased because this was the game I grew up with. So, like, I know all the songs by heart.
But this is coming from someone who didn't do that, and I still agree with you.
But, I mean, just from as soon as you put the game on, like as soon as you press the power button, that intro song comes right in. Like there's no delay whatsoever. Like, yeah, I'm playing Mega Man 3. What up?
Oh my god.
It just hits you right out of the gate.
It builds really well too. It starts out really soft. I mean, it really makes sense why they call it Rock Man in Japan, because it's literally like all the music is supposed to be rock music, and it really feels like an epic, I don't want to say power ballad, but it's like an epic song that's like building up.
Like one that Meatloaf could sing.
I know, right? Like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone when the morning comes. Oh my god. I apologize for that. No, so the soundtrack, if you have not listened to any Mega Man soundtrack, one, what's wrong with you? But two, go listen to this one. And, I mean, everyone goes to Mega Man 2's Dr. Wily's Castle.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It is. It's one of the best.
It's once you hear it the first time, and it in a weird way, it's overplayed, even though, like...
Like every video game cover band covers it.
Covers it at some point.
Remixes, everything.
And that's just weird to think that it's overplayed, considering video game music is never on the radio.
Yeah.
But it's
at least if you're in the scene, it's everywhere, pretty
much. Yeah, it's pretty, what's my new favorite word for that? Where it's like, always present. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on one of my favorite new vocabulary words. It's oh fuck. Well, that's not the vocabulary word, but it's a good one still. I'm gonna forget it. If I remember, you're gonna hear me blurt it out in the middle of the episode, and
it's
I'll just be
a tidal
like,
wave.
I know, right? Just oh my god, that's gonna bother me. Like it's, I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue too.
You'll remember it as soon as you're done this episode.
No, it's not. Well, actually, knowing my luck, yeah. So anyway, let's move on instead of me just like complaining how I don't remember a specific word. So let's go on to, I guess, to really say the legacy of Mega Man 3. Like, what did it do to further the series, and what do you think it did to the platforming genre in general? Yep. Ubiquitous! That's the word I was trying to think
you
of.
You got it.
Ubiquitous. It is, that song is ubiquitous. It's ever, like, everyone knows it. That's, god, fuck yeah, I did it. I
That's
threw my pen down. All right.
High school, great shit right there.
I know, right? All right, so that song is ubiquitous. All right, so let's really move on. Sorry, I probably peaked the shit out of those levels. But no, let's move on to it. So the legacy of Mega Man 3, like I said, like what do you think it did for the series, first off?
I honestly think it was To me, it was one of the most readily available Mega Man games. Mega Man 1 and 2 set Mega Man 3 up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mega Man 1 was new. Probably didn't sell a ton of copies as, like, Mega Man 2 or 3 did.
Mm-hmm.
But it set the foundation. Mega Man 2 polished it up, and it made it a hit.
It was a big hit, too.
Yeah. And with good reason. I mean, you went to 8 bosses, the mechanics were really smooth, the music was fantastic.
I would even say the controls were a great improvement from the first one.
Absolutely, yep. They toned down the difficulty a little bit.
Well, they gave the option to, because you would have normal,
yeah, that's right.
You would have easy and normal, and no, I'm sorry, normal and hard. And normal was really just an easy mode, and hard was the actual original difficulty in Japan, because the Japanese think we're weak.
Yep, wimps.
Well, we are, but, you know, whatever.
But really, Mega Man 3 just built upon those two games and just made it a rock-solid franchise.
It really did.
Rockman.
Rockman. I see what you did there.
But, yeah, to me, like, it just had the perfect balance of everything. It wasn't overly difficult. It wasn't overly easy. And in some ways, it was like the true essence of what they intended it to be in the beginning. Where,
mm-hmm.
Like, a nice little tidbit about the name Rockman from the Japanese version is they wanted it to be like a rock, paper, scissors type game. So that's where his name kind of originated from. So you would try and figure out which enemy was weak to which power.
And that really, it shows, because that's the whole thing. You have to pick which boss you want to fight first, because which is the easiest to beat with the blast, with the buster, and then from there, what boss can you beat with that new weapon you obtain?
Exactly. And so, and to me, that was like the coolest thing when I was a kid. I was like, wait, who's weak against what? And like, what path should I take? And which order should I beat everyone in? And it was just one of those games where you could play continuously and it never gets old. And like, you always find like little neat tricks and things like that, where like when I was a kid, I'd take everything so like slow and methodical, and like I have to kill every enemy on the screen, and like I have to try and dodge them and stuff. And I came to a point where I was like, I'm just gonna blast everything. And so like I built like up that speed of just mashing the blast button and learning how to slide and dodge and everything. And it almost like the early beginnings of trying to speed run it, essentially.
What I think is cool, now I don't have much of a thing, like a frame of reference, I guess, to say how it affected the series, other than the fact that what I said before about how it added some new mechanics, refined things. What I will say it did for platforming, though, is it brought a really unprecedented level of balance to everything.
Yeah.
And Mario 3 did this too. I'm not trying to take it. I believe Mario 3, well, it definitely came first. It came out in 89, and we read this was 1990. Nice. But not like, I don't know. I thought Mega Man 3 just really showed the type of balance a good platformer needed. Because even like, so look, go back to Mega Man 2, right? And you think about the disappearing platforms and that one section in Heat Man where you're literally spending, you know, like hours trying to cross this stupid, like, bottomless pit with just, and the only thing stopping you from falling is a disappearing platform that you have to time all the jumps and memorize a pattern, which if you don't, which is insane, because if you don't know the pattern later on, you're literally left out to dry. Like, it really dicks over the player in that portion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a way you can get around it easily with, like, the rush jet type of thing or whatever that is called.
Item three or two
or something like that. And it makes sense. And that's fine, but that's still, like, if it's still, like, if you want to play the other way with the actual disappearing platforms, it really dicks over the player.
Yep.
What I like about this one is that in the one level, what was the level that had it, too? Wasn't it Magnet? It was Magnet Man stage.
Yes.
So in Magnet Man stage, they bring those back. But it's instead of doing a long hallway of it, it's tiny little sections.
Mm-hmm.
And each section, they steadily take out a safety net, or they add a difficulty.
Yes.
And there's about 5 or 6 sections in a row. So it is technically a hallway of it, but they break it up so that way you can, like, have a breather in it. So there's, like, one, no issues at all. It's just a bunch of moving, like, disappearing blocks, and you have to figure out the pattern and jump to the top. Next one, it adds these magnet things in there. So still a complete floor underneath you, but there's a magnet underneath you. there's a magnet to the sides of you pulling you off of the block, so you have to be quick and you have to memorize the pattern more efficiently. The third one does that again, but now there's a hole on the one side. Not the whole bottom, but there is a hole on the one side. And then the last one has nothing underneath it, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And you have to... And luckily, by that time, you've... Through good game design, you've learned how to master these blocks, even though you don't realize you're doing it.
Exactly.
And, like, you watched me do it. Like, I was struggling with the first couple, and by the end, I just went through the last three like nothing. Yeah, you breezed through the last ones, yep. And that's good game design. There's still a challenger. You know what's at risk. But they gave you ample time to... Learn the mechanic, learn the pattern, and then figure it out from there. And honestly, it was one of the most satisfying things for me. Like, when I got through it, I was like, yes, this is what a good game should be. So I think what it really left as a lasting impact to just not just platforming games, but also all video games, is like learning how to balance challenge. Like, you know, you really want to, you don't want to just throw, you know, you don't want to just make those Dick Mario Maker levels where it's just nothing but like balls to the wall challenge. Yeah. But at the same time, you don't want something that's going to be super easy. So Mega Man 3 did a really solid job of keeping that tough difficulty, but teaching you at the same time.
Yeah, it's almost like the Super Metroid effect, where like you learn by playing the game. And that's the perfect game. No need for these like hour long tutorials on how to do something. Like, no, like, let's set up an area where by just playing through that area, you're learning how the game works.
And that's how platformers and any action type of game should be. Mm-hmm. RPGs, I understand, because you have different battle systems and mechanics. So, like, when you have a 3-hour tutorial, it kind of makes sense, especially for games, you know, like, just to throw out an example, like Final Fantasy VIII with the whole junctioning magic system.
Draw system.
That's confusing as shit if you don't know what you're doing.
Yep.
But that's why you have a 3-hour tutorial. But when you have games like Super Metroid or this, or even Super Mario Bros. 3, there's no tutorials. Yeah, they may tell you, like, hit this button to do this, but there's not anything saying, jump up this wall so you can use this ability. It just, they give you abilities and you figure out how to use them. So I think Mega Man 3 did a really good job at just, in general, just balance. And it showed, it set a standard for other games that need to learn how to balance game their own games that same way.
Yep. And it does a perfect job against, like, across everything, too. Because they introduced the slide mechanic in this one. And there's certain areas that you won't get punished for not knowing the slide mechanic, but you can only pass through to the next area by sliding under something.
Mm-hmm.
So it teaches you, like, hey, you have to slide. And it's just real subtle. It just reminds you, like, oh, yeah, I have this slide move I can use. And so I need to use it to get through this area, but I can use it other places, too.
And it should, I mean, I should have taken a hint out of that book. That stupid level where you have to just kill all the bubbles and then the little thing, the little blue fish. Sperm comes out. I kept, like, getting stuck in one spot when I realized if I would just slid and shoot the whole time, I would have just been fine. I didn't think about it till afterwards. But, all right, to wrap everything up, is there any final things you'd like to say about Mega Man 3? Any, like, last type of deals or anything like that?
I mean, it's just one of those games that, to me, it's a legacy. Like, and part of that's just because I grew up with it again, but it's just one of those games that anyone can pick it up, can enjoy it, get through it, and say, like, yeah, that's a really nice game. Like, it's just a solid, solid game that you don't have to be, like, a hardcore gamer to play. Like Mega Man 1 or Mega Man 2 even, where the difficulty is pretty high.
I would say Mega Man 3 is a little bit harder for me, but only in certain aspects. I think also it's because I played Mega Man 2 on the easy difficulty, but that's just me.
Yeah, and like you have all these cool features with Rush that you haven't seen before, and it's not like Rush breaks the game in any way. Like, he's just a really cool addition to have. And it just really, like, as soon as you start playing Mega Man 3, the controls are so good, the stages are so well designed, everything's so well balanced, that you get lost in this game. Like, you actually feel like you're Mega Man. And it's one of the few games, like, I can think of a handful of games that suck you in that much, where you actually feel like you're playing the character.
That's awesome. That's such a hard thing to achieve, especially when you... I mean, it's probably a little bit easy for you because you grew up with it, but if you think of... It's really hard to find any game like that, especially retro games, because you have all... And I don't mean to say that retro games are bad or anything like that, but it's the fact that you're so used to all these new games and the new genres and the... Not the new genres, sorry, the new game design techniques and stuff like that, that it's... like these are much more immersive now because... The games can be much more immersive. The technology allows it. So when you find an old game that still immerses you the same way, that's impressive. That's the sign of a classic. Not just a classic, but like you said, a legacy. Mm-hmm. So, and that actually, like, honestly, that sums up my opinions of it, too. I don't really know much more to say about it. So I guess to wrap everything up, guys, thank you once again for listening to this episode of Still Loading. Thank you, Justin, for joining me to talk about Mega Man 3, one of both of our favorite games, and I know one of yours.
Always a pleasure.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug at all? Are you getting... I know you do a lot of cosplaying stuff. Are you trying to get back into, like, get your Instagram stuff up again? Or
yeah, I've been becoming more active recently. But, yeah, if you really feel like seeing some weird cosplay shit, you can always follow me at Kitsu Ninja. I like Kitsune, but Ninja at the end. But hopefully I'll start posting more ninja stuff, like Ninja Warrior things, but...
Yeah. And your girl cosplays.
Yeah, and weird cross-dressing cosplays.
Hey, man, you have... being 100% honest, I'm not gonna lie, it's weird for me, not that you're doing it, but that I know you from as a kid, and then I see you as this now. Nothing weird about the actual act. It's just like it's weird for me to see you as what
at
like,
the personal level.
I know, it, but at the same time, in a weird way, I kind of envy it because you have the guts to do it. There's no way I would have the balls to do that. No way, not even the slightest. Yeah. So, like, that's awesome. For me, guys, as usual, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. I'd also like to give a shout out to my good friend at TJ Hotter at The Hotter Show and at Two Guys at a Game. I was just on his show somewhat recently, did a small little, like, really informal interview with him, and it was a ton of fun. I enjoyed talking and hanging out with him. If you guys have not listened to his show, either of his shows, Two Guys in a Game is a fantastic gaming podcast. It's really funny. They do great impressions on it. They do a good Rick and Morty, so if you like Rick and Morty, go listen to that. And then The Hotter Show is TJ's show, and it's a great show. He interviews a lot of local bands. He talks about whatever he wants, and he does it in an interesting way. So give it a listen. And I think that about wraps it up. So please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. It helps get the show out, especially on iTunes. And once again, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at StillOwningPod on all of them. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next time.
Peace.